What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Pack Leader Podcast, Season 3, Episode 2. Blaine, what's up?
What's going on, Coach?
Nothing much. As you can see, we got an additional guest here joining us today. Tell the people what's up, Zach.
I'm Zach Shoup, 125-pounder here. I'm a six-year grad student, and looking to make some noise this year.
Yeah, man. So me and Blaine were kind of chatting it up on the way to Super 32 this past weekend and really just wanting to readjust how we do the format of the show. One of the best things about Newberry College Wrestling is the athletes, right? So we want to do a better job of spotlighting the athletes that we have on the team, telling their stories, and I'm excited to get into Shoup's story here, just about like how last season went and some of the things that led him to decide to take this last year of eligibility. But before we get into that, I kind of wanted to recap Super 32. Coach, I thought it was pretty productive.
Yeah, good weekend. Got to shake some hands, put some names and faces together, and evaluate some guys who've been on our recruiting list for a long time. Also, the brand placement, Fresca. We're waiting.
We even put the brand on the singlet.
Yeah, whatever.
But yeah, no, it was good. And I know that was your first time going out there, at least to recruit. What did you think about like the depth of the tournament?
Yeah, no, it's a deep tournament. I mean, and especially when it gets late, and literally there will be a guy, you will get a result notification, and 1 minute or less later, an assignment to a new mat where he's in the hole already. So, you know, it takes a special kind of kid to go out there and do well and have a run that goes deep. But, no, I enjoyed it. In the past, I've been with football a lot of those years. And then here recently, I got like 37 kids at my house. So it's been hard to get away. But this year, we really made plans early, and I'm glad I went. It was a good time, a good experience. And, you know, like I said, just really being able to put a bow on a lot of things recruiting-wise and get some new things started.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm looking forward to following up with a lot of those conversations and hopefully getting some kids on official visits here. Shoup, have you ever wrestled in it?
No, I signed up junior year of high school, and I was going to go, but then my high school coach was, because I played soccer in the fall too, and I was kind of like, you know, I had the talent to do well there, but obviously if you're not wrestling every day, and I was like, you know, I'm going to practice once a week, twice a week maybe, and I'll go. And my high school coach is like,
no,
that's not going to work. Yeah.
That's a long trip to go if you ain't ready. So
yeah.
But yeah, no, it's good. So moving on, though, I kind of just wanted to update on everyone on all things Newberry Wrestling. So like I said, we had a great recruiting trip. And also I wanted to update you guys on the pin pool update. Last week we had our annual phone-a-thon, and the guys blew it out of the water.
I'm not super pumped about it. I mean, I'm glad we did well, but that we did make them a promise.
Yeah, and for most people don't know, I think we mentioned it last year on the podcast. We told the guys, basically, if we get over $400 a pin, well, if we hit 400 or over, that me and Blanton have to join the Newberry and wrestle in the Newberry Open. So we'll be strapping it up this January on the 28th. So I haven't been 149 pounds since March of 2013.
Coach, 184 was a long way ago.
Right. But no, it was, in all honesty, I'm super pumped about just the level of excitement that the pin pool garners from all of our supporters. And as of 11:26 this morning, I hopped on the spreadsheet to check. We're bringing in $489 a pin.
Yeah, and that doesn't include a couple others that we know about. Like, I've got $4 a pin waiting in my text messages that I just have to upload. So, I mean, we're inching real close to $500 a pin. So yeah, it's going to be a good response. It's been a great response. It's going to be a good year recruiting-wise, and hopefully it's a good year pinning people, because last year it's like, our goal was how many people can we let off their back.
You always would get a guy's hard time about that. So yeah, that's how a pin pool works. You got a pin to make the money. So Zach.
Yeah. Fairfield.
Yeah. Came with the Fairfield.
But I did want to shout out some of our national champion level pin pool members. Obviously every single pledge is super valuable, and we appreciate all the members that we had. But we have a couple that went a far few and in between. I actually think we'll have to get a bigger banner this year. John Lopez is a repeat national champion level pin pool member, along with Mary Beth and Bob Parker, Leslie Folsom, Aaron Harrington, Alicia Martinez, Matt Wade, former alumni here in All-American, also was on our podcast, will be on this podcast, Selena and Matt Hamby, Sylvia Folsom, Maurice Freeman, Stan Gilliam, Michael Munoz, BJ Young, Ernest Young, Trevon Fordham, Palmetto State Wrestling Academy from right up the road, Dustin Harvey, aka Duddy. Coach Paul Watson is a repeat national champion pin pool member, Billy Kopich, Derek Manning, Josh Whitelock, also goes by Wheezy, Scott Thomas, and Donna Thomas. So we really appreciate all of your support and joining. And also, can't I be remiss of our most recent member, if I didn't mention Kirsten, who is Ben Valdez's mother.
Yep, Miss Ben came in with a tippy-top pledge, and you know, that's huge. It's that type of support and buy-in from parents and from alumni that I really think helps push the program forward, because, you know, if you're just sending your kid here, or if you graduated and I got my degree and it's time to move on, I feel like that level of connection is not there. But to see the buy-in and the support, I think that's what's really going to help us kind of make that next step. Hopefully make those big splashes that lead to more of these national trophies.
Yeah, definitely, because it takes a lot to run a program. And like I mentioned kind of in the article that went out about the pin pool, all of the funds that we bring in, those gifts that will be made at the end of the season, they'll go towards phase two of our renovations in the new facility. Locker room enhancements, shower installation, and also the addition of another locker room for our women's team. So we just kind of want to keep doing right by our guys, all the hard work that they put in, and making sure that they got a facility that's up to the standard that some of the other top tier programs in the country have as well. So always trying to be better, and we appreciate your support. So moving on, I want to, like I said, spotlight Zach Shue. So he mentioned he's a grad student here. Tell everybody what your grad studies are in right now.
My grad studies are in organizational development and leadership.
Nice.
So one of the two programs we got here right now. And yeah. They're looking to make more.
Yeah. What was your undergrad in?
Sport management and business.
Cool. Well, first question I want to ask, for many people that don't know, and I hope you don't mind me sharing, I mean, Zach literally had a heat stroke last year.
Literally almost died.
On day one of preseason, I'll never forget it, you were running, I think you were like first or second, right?
I think I came in third.
Gotcha. Either way, I mean, you were getting it. So you ran
technically into... Technically, yeah, finished.
Right. He ran inside the main entrance fountain. Like dropped right in front of the wolf, and I thought like you were tired because I was like, man, he really,
that's what everybody thought.
He emptied the tank and he just, you know, that's where he's laying right now. So I walked past you to kind of see who else was coming up, and I remember one of the guys saying like, hey, Shoop's not okay right now, and I'm like, yeah, he just was getting after it, and then they're like, maybe 3 or 4 minutes go by and they're like, hey, no, he's not okay right now. So yeah. I come back, tell a little bit about that experience.
All I remember was, you know, it was a hot day. I was running hard and I was really pushing myself. And me and JP were running next to each other. And, you know, just same weight class, all that, trying to compete with each other, kind of going back and forth. And we hit the last, you know, how far would you say Cromer is? You know, 3/4 of a mile?
Yeah,
last like 3/4 of a mile from the run. We really started to race each other. And that was the last thing I remember was being right there. But I finished, you know, I came all the way around. But I blacked out at Cromer, and then I woke up in the hospital, saw Darrell right next to me, and I was just like, what happened?
That's the
last thing I remember.
One of the most scary moments in my professional life, for sure, because that's never happened during a conditional workout. And especially since it was like a run. It wasn't like we were...
Yeah.
I mean, we've done... the heat was ridiculous, too, but, I mean, we've done... I mean, you would agree, intensity-wise, probably more intense.
Oh, we've done more intense stuff. Yeah. I mean, I think it was just heat and... You know, first day.
Yep.
You know, just push myself past my limits that day.
Right. But that's the kind of context people don't really know. So then, fast forward, they see maybe the results of the season. I mean, you were out for at least a month after that, and even I remember after you were cleared to get back on the mat, still having to go through all the testing and really just not feeling like yourself.
Yeah. So my first day of practice was I came back to practice the week of wrestle offs last year. And I remember telling the coaches, like, obviously, I haven't practiced. I was like, I'm not going to wrestle off. And they're like, no, you're going to wrestle off. So, you know, I had 2 days of practice, did my first, like, you do the bracket, did my first round. And I remember going to that match thinking, like, I got no gas tank. I'm going to get a takedown, and I'm winning this match 3-2. And won that one and then wrestled on Saturday or Sunday in the inner squad and lost a close match there. And then, yeah, fast forward, keep the season going, and I was just – I had about, you know, I could wrestle for probably a minute, and then there was no gas tank, there was nothing. I wanted to die out on the mat. But the coaches knew what they were doing the whole time, you know. I really pushed myself, and I don't think I ever felt 100% last year. Even regionals, nationals, I don't think I was back to 100%.
Yeah. Well, I remember you being pretty sensitive to, like, the heat in the room for the first few
weeks.
That
was another thing.
Just any time the temperature in the room would get above, like, you know, 80, you could definitely see a difference, I think, just your body responding in a weird way.
Yeah, definitely last year. Obviously, the cutting weight, so, you know, have, like, sweats on or something, it wrestling room gets hot, and I would, like, get, like, anxiety. Like, my body's like, oh, it's about to happen again, so I'd start to kind of, like, freak out a little bit, and that was another thing I was dealing with a lot last year, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, still, I mean, it was really cool to see the end to the season that you put together. I mean, because at the regionals, you know, you had a tough bracket. I mean, Joplin, who went on to be an All-American, you had to get through the number one kid in the country, Logan Saliga, ended up beating him to make it to the national tournament, pulled a huge upset, and then, you know, qualified for the big dance and had a good show. You know, you were a blood rounder. Talk a little bit about what made you end up coming back, because I know after the season you had, you kind of had the itch to come back, but then at one point you were like, nah, I'm done, I'm hanging it up. Tell us about that.
I think coming back, I mean, I definitely always felt like, you know, you can always be satisfied, like, I'm a two-time national qualifier, like, lost in the round of 12, that's, you know, that's not bad, but then there's always that little bit, it's like, damn, like, I can do better type of deal. And I knew, I remember telling Blanton, like, you know, I literally died last year. I died this year and was almost an All-American. Let's see what can happen if I don't die. So that was another thing. And one of the things I was scared to come back was, I just remember how bad, like, last year was awful. Mentally and physically was awful, trying to rebound from that. So I just didn't want to go through that again. But this year's been so far so good. And like I said, just that little itch of, yeah, knock on wood. that little itch of, you know, like, we're not done yet. And my biggest thing was, it's kind of like you say in practice, like, you know, you're going to regret it at the end of the day type of deal. Like, you know, I could look back when I'm, like, 35 and be like, man, I had another year of eligibility and I didn't take it. So, plus grad school, it's, you know, always good to get your master's. So,
definitely
not going to hurt.
No, definitely, man. And I can say, having just being in the room every day and kind of noticing how you're going about your daily life, consistency wise, you've been one of the most consistent on the team, not only with the work ethic you bring to the room, but also just even off, like, outside of practice, like getting our one-on-ones in. We've been pretty consistent with that on a weekly basis, and I can just tell your level of buy-in and even just how you're enjoying things is different than last year, because sometimes you come in and you could just tell your demeanor or overall disposition was like, man, another day, I gotta get through.
I hated life. It was a rough year last year.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing that made me come back, is, you know, if I don't feel like that, then what can I do? And that's what me and you talked about at the beginning of the year, is I have all the talent in the world to do it. It's just, I think between the ears is what's going to get it done.
Definitely, man. So I'm excited to see you have a good season. What are some other things you're looking forward to? Obviously, getting your name on this wall and competing for a national championship, but senior year, last time on the team, what are some things you're excited for, just as in general?
I think we have a very good team this year, you know. I think we're being slept on a little bit, but we brought back some hammers this year. You know, all of us coming back, we're going to have a very, very good lineup. And we're deep, too. You look at a lot of our weights, especially like that 57.
Yeah.
You got almost four All-Americans at that weight, you know. Like, so we got a deep team, but it's all about being healthy. Staying healthy is the biggest part. And I'm really excited about our freshman class.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about that before. We have a really solid freshman group that I think here, you know, I mean, they could do something this year, but here in the next few years, they're going to be really good.
Yeah, and it's cool because, you know, we brought in a really big freshman class, but we also are graduating a lot of people too, right?
Yeah,
it was graduating a lot.
Yeah, we are graduating a lot of kids.
Yeah, and so them coming in and being able to train with you guys and kind of get the – learn the ropes, for lack of better words, I think will put us in a position to reload as opposed to have to rebuild after all you guys that have been here for so long leave. I mean, Zabrandon's finishing up what will be like his 10th year here.
Something like that.
Something like
I'm
that.
Right there with him.
Yeah. Hey, we were out at Super 32 and the coach from Emmanuel, he was like, there's no way he's coming back.
he wanted receipts.
Yeah, he's like, I need to see some transcripts. But yeah, so I'm pumped, man, and I hope you are too, because I know these are your boys and you've been grinding with them for quite some time now, so let's get it done.
Yeah, I'm excited, you know. I think everybody's pretty locked in, and I'm ready to start wrestling and not wrestling the same people every day.
Right.
It gets old wrestling. We've been wrestling the same guy for a month and a half now, so.
Right.
Ready to get out there and wrestle somebody new.
Definitely. BB, anything you got before we wrap up and move on?
No, I'm just excited. Like you guys have been saying, we've got a great group in the room this year. I think mentally and from just like just the vibes in the room are positive. So we got guys in there battling, trying to grind, trying to push each other. No hard feelings on stuff. You know, guys get out there and get after it, get kicked in the face, knocked out, whatever. I mean, just and get up and like, okay, you and I were after the same thing, and you got it that time. I'm gonna come get it next time.
Yeah.
So, you know, just just scrapping. So I'm excited for the season, and I'm like you, but I'm tired of going to the same room every day. I want to go watch some wrestling somewhere else and see our guys beat up on some other teams. And, I think we're up to it.
Well, it's right around the corner because, I mean, we go UNCP, which we'll talk about a little bit later on the 5th. So literally, we were almost there. And so we will jump into an interview with Matt Wade. Before that, I wanted to talk and just thank everybody for Alumni Weekend. So we had our second annual Alumni Weekend. Technically, you're an alumni too, but not yet.
They didn't let me play in the golf outing, though, which was pretty messed up.
But yeah, it was an awesome turnout because last year, I think we might have had a handful, literally maybe 4 or 5. And then this year we had, I think, 9 guys ended up golfing, making it for Friday. You know, that tee time, I think, was hard with work. But then the tailgate the next day, we had near 20 guys. And it was just so cool to see everybody come back and just the talks about, you know, the hard practices and just, you know, life in the dorms. And
shenanigans.
Shenanigans, yeah. It was a great time.
Right, and with a program that's less than 20 years old, to have what I think was a pretty good turnout, you know, to me that says a lot. And we were looking at it the other day, kind of just looking up, really just looking at national qualifiers and All-Americans, because that's really the list that we have available in the room to go by. But John Park and I were in there looking and kind of comparing, and there's a connection to every team but like 2.
Wow.
As far as like years go. Yeah. So just to know that we really had our entire history basically represented was a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, I mean, we had, because Trevon was part of that, like, first
inaugural. Yeah,
and I mean, he was there at the tailgate all the way through the more recent ones, like BJ and Trevor Mansfield was there.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
Isaiah,
literally Kilo graduated.
Yeah.
You know,
so my teammates.
So it was cool representation from so many classes. It was my 10-year reunion, which was like, dang, it's been that long. But no, it's awesome. And so we got this group chat going now too, which has been pretty funny.
Yeah.
And so I think we're going to get a good group out here for life, hopefully. So if you're listening and you're alumni and you want to come, I know Weezy and Duddy are trying to make it out this way.
Right. And Darrell and Tony Washington are different people.
I talked to this guy. I was out of Super 32. We scrapped with him. He went to UPJ. And me and Blant talked to him maybe 20 minutes, and he thought I was Tony Washington. Matt texted me that, told me after. That was funny. In all seriousness, thank you guys for the support. And also the pin pool support. You'll see when you go to our website, a lot of those national champion level pin pool members we got are alumni. And that's the kind of support that it takes for us to continue to build the program into a national powerhouse, what we're used to being, and trying to bring that first national championship back to Newberry. So, moving on, speaking of alumni and national champion level pin pool members, Matt Wade joined us this year. He was an All-American for us. I was teammates with him back in the day at heavyweight. And we just kind of want to jump in that. It was an awesome interview, and I hope you guys enjoyed. All right, what's up, everyone? I'm here with Matt Wade. Matt, I appreciate you joining us on the podcast, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Darrell.
So just to kick things off, kind of tell everyone about you. Obviously, you know, me and you wrestled back in the day, but just a quick Spark Notes version of who you are, where you're from, what year you graduated, and even just tell us a little bit about your college accolades.
Yeah, I'm from Eastern Maryland. I was a high school state champ there. Came to Newberry in 2009. Graduated, I don't want to say like 2013. You know, I did a couple victory laps. College wise, I was a 2-time national qualifier, and then I was an All-American my senior year. We were national runners up that year as well in the dual tournament. Yeah, that's a,
is that 2012, I think?
Yeah, we were not we upset 2 teams in the quarters and in the semis to make the finals, and then we lost to Notre Dame.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
It's the funny, cuz that picture comes up on my Facebook, and we all just look pissed. We just took second in the country, and we all do not look happy in that picture when they gave us the plaque.
Yeah, I think there were some words of not encouragement that came after, which probably yielded those faces. But
that's funny, man. Yeah, dude, I appreciate you joining us. So obviously the name of the podcast is Pack Leader Podcast, and so we always try to feature guys who were leaders not only while they were on the team, but just leaders still in life as well. So just wanted to catch up. You were here for the tailgate and alumni weekend this past weekend, which was actually pretty fun, right?
Yeah, great time. I hope it's going to become a staple for me. I hope we see more people trickle in as the years come.
Yeah. Even in comparison to last year, I mean, last year I think we might have had literally a handful of people, maybe 4 or 5, and then this year,
really,
the tournament was a little bit smaller.
I think at the tailgate, we probably saw 15, 16 guys there.
Yeah, I felt like you had a great turnout on Saturday.
Yeah. So we'll keep building on that. But yeah, man, so where are you living at right now?
Yeah, so I live in Northern Virginia. I live right outside D.C. I've been here for 6 years. For 6 years, yep.
Nice. Talk a little bit about what you're doing there work-wise.
Oh, yeah. So I had a couple of random jobs after I graduated. I coached for a little bit, and then I decided to get into sales. I started at this company as just a rep, and then I worked my way up. I'm a regional sales manager, so I oversee a team, and then I have a personal selling responsibility as well. So, you know, it's outside sales, which is awesome. So, like, I'm not in the office, you know, so I get to, like, go out, meet people, shake hands, kiss babies, all that fun stuff.
What's the name of the company?
I work Centric. We're Centric, yep.
And what do you guys like? What's the product or service that you guys offer?
I sell copiers and printers.
Nice.
Which is like when I was interviewing, I remember being like, do people still buy these things? and they're like, yeah, people still buy them. And then when I first moved to Baltimore for the job, and my mom was like, so you're gonna go door to door selling printers, to businesses. She's like, oh, I think she thought I was gonna like be like knocking on all the people's doors in Baltimore trying to sell them like office printers. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. It's real. I had a couple of not so great jobs before, but this place has just been so good to me. And it's done a lot for me. Yeah. I'm living the life I want to live. You know, you hit your number, you get 2 free vacations a year.
Nice.
Yeah. I was just in New Orleans. I went to Puerto Rico earlier this year. Been like all over the country, like just because I sold some printers, you know? Nice.
Yeah. People don't realize, man, but I mean, I use a printer like every day and a copier. And
right.
I know Newberry recently, the last 2 years, we bought a whole new whatever company we were with. I realized that you work like Centric offered that. I might have hit you up, but like we just bought all new printers and copiers. And I know it wasn't the RFP was not cheap. So.
Oh, I'm sure it wasn't. Now, colleges are usually a good hit.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome, man. And so you've been with the company, you said, I know you've been in the area for 6 years, but how long have you been with Centric?
Seven. Okay. Yeah.
Nice. And work your way up. Talk a little bit about just what the gap in between, like when you were with Centric, and then like, I know you mentioned coaching a little bit out of college. What kind of was your path from college to Centric?
Oh, yeah. So, well, as you know, I wanted to be a professional wrestler. Like that was the goal, right? So I graduated, I had, you know, tried out for the WWE. Let's talk about that. So like I met a recruiter, and we talked briefly like in November, December. And he was like, well, I'll be at Nationals. He's like, you know, he's like, I'd want to see, he's like, I'd want you to lose a little bit of weight. So I lost like 15 pounds. I like leaned up. I just got in shape. I wasn't in shape. And met him, and he's like, all right, I'll give you a tryout. So it's, just talk about an awesome experience, man. So they fly you down to their performance center in Orlando.
Okay.
I was one of 50 people. And it's 3 days. It's 3 days from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. of just like so they had like 4 or 5 rings set up, and you just like there's a coach in each ring, and that all the coaches were people that have been on that were on TV. Like people that like I don't know if you know who like Billy Gunn is or like William Regal, like people who were like
WWE stars,
like superstars, right?
Right.
And you basically just wait in line. So like you'd wait in line for an hour, get in the ring, do some drills, then you get back in line. And the drills were like stuff we do for our warm-up, like forward rolls, jumping forward rolls, walk on your hands, backwards rolls. And there's and like I'm smoking it, right? It's so it's like killing it. All there's all these, and I'm the smallest person there by like a mile. So I get through it, and one of the guys who was like showing us the drills, he was like going to school there, or like, you know, in training. He comes up to me, he's like, "Man, you killed it. You killed it." He's like, "I'm gonna see you in a couple of months." And I'm like, "I'm in.
Let's go." Yeah.
I'm in. And then I get a call from the guy who recruited me, and he's like, "Do you want the good news or the bad news first?"
Oh man.
I'm like, just hit me with it. He's like, "Well, I'll give you the good news first." He's like, "The good news is you did really well and you made me look really good." I'm like, "Oh, good for you.
That's a positive."
He's like, the bad news is it's a no for now." And I'm like, "Well, why?" And he's like, "Well, everyone just felt like you looked too nice."
What?
That's what he said. That's what he said.
And I mean, yes. There's no way to like, I mean, you can always curate your image, right? I mean, you don't have to be. You don't,
sure.
Right. Once you
I didn't have this sweet mustache. I should have showed up with a mullet. You know, like there's so many things you could do.
Yeah.
But I was like, you guys can't figure something out there. Like there's a spin there. So he was like, "Well, you know, if you wanna," what's up, Lynn? He's like, "Oh,
what's up, Wayne?"
He's like, if you wanna go and like do like the independent professional wrestling thing and get a gimmick and come back, like I can give you another tryout. So I thought I would do that. And then I wound up.
Is that where the mustache came from?
Yeah. Yep. And then I wound up blowing a couple of discs out my back, and I, you know, figured that was the end of my professional wrestling career. But I mean, how many people can say they got invited to try out, right? Like it's still a hell of an experience.
Right. So yeah. you blew the disc out in your back doing the like the alternate route to like.
No, well, I was doing CrossFit to stay like in shape, and was deadlifting way too much weight, and it snapped. Like I heard like a pop, and then I didn't like think anything of it. And I was also coaching my brother, so I was wrestling with him every day. And then we were out at senior nationals, and I like could barely like stand up out of the chair. I remember like I was like hobbling around, you know, like you see them coaches like in their 50s, like hobbling back and forth. And I was like, "I'm 22, I can't," or 24, like I shouldn't be like walking like this. Right.
Gotcha. So that's kind of what I guess led you another direction.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I like kind of had the, it took me like a year to like accept it, but once I had the like realization that this was the end of the end, like I had to let that dream go, you know? Then I was like, "Well, I mean, if I look nice, I guess people will buy stuff from me." So then I got into sales and somehow wound up selling copiers and printers.
Right. No, and it's cool because you're killing it there, man. I know we were talking about it during alumni weekend. It seems like you're doing really, really well. So that's awesome to see.
Let me tell this story because I love telling the story. So I'm interviewing for this company, and the final interview you have to do, and this is one of the things wrestling has done for me. The final interview, you have to like give a presentation on how you would sell a machine. I had no idea. Bombed it, right? Mm-hmm. Bombed it. And the guy's sitting there, and he's like, "Yeah, you know, that if it's up to me, it's a no for if it's a no." And I'm like, "Come on." And he's like, "Look, we put a lot of time in developing people and like getting them, like helping them become successful. Like we can't invest in people who aren't like at a certain level yet." And I, on my resume, I had state champ and NCAA All-American. And I turned it and I put it in front of him. I'm like, "Do you know what those two things mean?" And he's like, "No." I was like, "That means I worked my ass off." I was like, "And let me tell you this, my freshman year in high school, I didn't win a single wrestling match. And my senior year of college, I was an NCAA All-American. So if I have good coaches, I can learn and implement really well. So it's really not about how good I am. It's about how good you are at developing people." Nice. And he just like, he's like, "All right, you're hired."
I like
it. Direct correlation.
Yeah.
No, that's pretty cool, man. and pretty ballsy of you in the moment to do that though. On the
interview. Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, just like I was like, I've always been this way, but if I'm going out, I'm going out right. on my, I'm going out on yes. my like terms, like
guns blazing.
Yeah, always.
Nice. Well, yeah, man, it's awesome to see you doing your thing. I want to talk a little bit about your experience at Newberry, but kind of before then, and I know I'm jumping all over the place, what led you to Newberry? Because you're from Maryland, so obviously we're not right around the corner being in South Carolina.
Yeah, I had never, like, I had kind of heard of Newberry because Josh Whitelock and Latrae Colick both went down there.
Yeah.
And they were seniors when I was a freshman in high school. So, like, I knew of Newberry, but I didn't really know of Newberry. And my senior year, I got a handwritten letter from Matt Finley on my birthday, wishing me happy birthday and congrats. And at that point I was like 30 something and oh, and he was like, oh, like, you know, you're having a great year. Like, can't wait to hear about your state championship, you know? So I got like two or three handwritten letters from him. And then I, you know, I visited a couple of schools, came down, met all you guys. We had, I'm pretty sure there was a party involved. And after that, I just remember like leaving and being like, that's where I want to go.
Nice.
Like, yeah.
That's awesome, man. And so you get here, talk a little bit about your experience. Like, obviously you enjoyed it and you accomplished the goal of becoming an All-American, but what are some moments that stick out to you over the course of your career here, academically, athletically, off the mat too?
I mean, you know, like, off the mat, I just feel like they're like the guys that like, you know, were in, that I was in the trenches with, like going through all, like the training is just was so intense, right? And like there's just a different level of respect with like and like bond with those people that I feel like that to me like sticks out immensely. Like academically, I mean, there's not much to talk about there. I was a student. I wasn't, you know, that wasn't why I was there. And then like the things that like stick out to me that like I remember the most were like the moments that were like so hard and we all just like persevered. Like those are the things that like I really remember. Like, you know, sure, like I remember like the big wins. I was thinking about the duel. There was a duel our senior year that we were supposed to like smoke the team. And it came down to me and the guy I was wrestling, I had lost to in the previous year and I beat
Shorter
for us to win. You remember that one?
Yeah, Shorter.
It was Shorter. Yeah. Yep. Yep. And then I mean, obviously All American. I mean, that's, how can you forget that? Like,
right. What was the turning point? I was actually thinking about this on the ride in, just kind of looking ahead to the interview. At what point, because I remember in my career kind of turning that corner, being the guy who was like, you know, in the practice room, you see what I was capable of, but then never really translated to like the match. I remember turning that corner. What was the turning point for you when you were like, I'm one of the best in the country?
I tell you what it was for me. It was when you won the Newberry Open, and we had a couple other guys who were ahead of you in the depth chart in that same Newberry Open. That's when I knew Matt Wade was for real.
Yeah, that's probably, I'm glad you brought that up. That's probably when it was. That year started out as I was going to be the guy.
Who were the heavyweights?
Huh?
Who were some of the heavyweights on the depth chart?
I think Jake and Corey might – Jake for sure, but Corey might have been here too.
No, Corey was gone at that point.
Okay, but Jake – because you wrestled Jake in the Newberry Open and beat him.
I did, yep. And he was a great wrestler, and he's doing great things. But I remember that tournament being, like, upset that he came back second semester, and we never even got a wrestle off. It was just he came back. He was a returning All-American, and he was just – automatically inserted in. I remember thinking like, I need to prove my worth right now. And I just remember what I said 10 seconds ago, I'm going to do it my way. And I just went after him and it worked out for me. I don't know if there, and outside of that, I don't know if there was like ever like an aha moment. You know, I would say I redshirted freshman year. And I think coming to college, you kind of like, you don't realize that you're a big fish in a small pond, you know, and then you get dropped in the ocean and you walk in and everyone's a state champ and everyone's, you know, a high school All-American. And then, so it's like just accepting that like you've come really far, but you have way further to go. I don't know. I don't know if I had like a specific moment outside of the Newbury Open.
Gotcha. No, that's cool.
And it may not have, I just want to touch base. Like, it wasn't a moment for me of like, he's the guy and he's that dude, but it was like, you know, as recently transitioning to the staff at that point, I felt like Jake was probably the guy still, but it was that moment of like, just that comforting feeling of Wade's ready. We're not going to rebuild. We're going to reload next year. And like, that was, right. That was such a huge moment. Cause like, it wasn't like you went out there and like, you know, got lucky. Like, if y'all wrestled that match 10 times, Jake probably wins 6 or 7 of them maybe. But like, it showed me that like, you were here and you meant business. You were capable, you know, like I was like,
yeah,
Wade is that dude. So it was that for like, from a coaching standpoint, like, man, I'm super comfortable with where we're at, like, at heavyweight. There was no question.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, there's such a rich tradition of heavyweight success at Newbury. I certainly knew. I'm one of those people that I just kind of like make my mind up. I'm going to do something and I do it. And I knew that I was eventually going to be the starter. And I knew for a fact I was not going to be the guy who didn't follow in the footsteps of everybody else. So, you know, at that point it was kind of like, whatever means necessary, I'm doing it to make sure that I'm that good. So
that's awesome. Yeah. It's cool to see how that translated to your the real world and your professional career too. And it's funny, you know, you mentioned off the mat, one of the things sticking out to you, is just like how we were in the trenches together. And that was the common ground that kind of is all of our bond. And it's just funny, like, think back to the tailgate,
right?
How much of our conversation was surrounded by like just the experiences we had, whether it was a hard practice, whether it was something out on the East Hall field, whether it was starting practice over again, but definitely something that I think has brought us all together.
Yeah, it was like, so what do you do? Well, I do this. And then it was like awkward silence. And it was like, remember that time we had to do 1,000 up downs?
Yeah, that was pretty much the whole weekend.
Yeah.
That's awesome, dude. So hit us with just a little bit of advice you have, kind of just in closing, for guys on the team. I mean, you're someone who, developmentally speaking, you know, like you said, you came in, you were state champ, but you had to put your time in and you had to grind to get to a point to where you were one of the best guys in the country. You know, we have some great depth at heavyweight right now, kind of keeping that same
season
that you mentioned. Got a national qualifier. We have a JUCO national champ there. And then some other guys who are chomping at the bit too. And that same like depth at heavyweight is a couple places throughout our lineup. So just some advice for those guys in that situation, but also for our guys in general.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that I would say is if you're gonna do it, do it. You know, like don't half-ass it. Like if you want to be that guy and you want to get your name on the wall, like, don't just show up. Like, you have to fully commit, you know, like it's 100% buy-in is really like the key. And you just have to make up your mind that like, I'm not going to go out on Friday night, or yeah, I am going to wake up at 6 a.m. and go lift weights or go for a run. Like, and you can't accept letting yourself off the hook, right? Like, it's so easy to wake up and hit snooze again, right? Like, if you want to be that guy, you just have to make up your mind that you're going to do it, and nothing's going to stop you. Like, I never wanted to sit back and live with regret, you know. Like, I would, you know, I'd rather say I did the damn thing and I did it to the best of my ability. So it's probably sounds super cliche, but just do it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, put your blinders on. Set out, like, make a plan for yourself. And if the plan's not working, like, reevaluate, but make a plan and execute. It's not a hard formula to be successful. You know, it's effort and intensity and be coachable, right? Like, you have to be open to feedback. The people the people who I have seen that are most successful in life and in wrestling were people that were open to feedback and could take the feedback and implement it.
And I would agree. Yeah. Like you said, the formula is pretty straightforward. Is it, what's hard is being consistent and sticking to it, you know?
Yeah. I think it was like my, who was that guy from Zanetti, the wrestling mindset guy?
Yeah.
He told a story about a golfer, and the golfer was like, you know, getting interviewed, and they were like, oh, how'd you play today? And he was like, oh, I played great. Like, I love, you know, it's like sunshine. It's my favorite way to play. Like, I love when the breeze is like this. Next tournament, it's pouring down rain. And they're like, oh, how'd you play today? He's like, oh, I played great. Like, I love it. I love it when it's raining, and I love like hitting the ball, like, and it just slowly rolls. And they're like, well, you said the same thing. He's like, well, I just love playing. You know, like, and his mindset was, it didn't matter if it was raining or sunny, like, he was gonna play. He was just gonna play, you know. And that, like, that to me, I don't know why that resonated with me so much, but it was like, doesn't matter what's happening around me. Like, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
It's awesome. So, yeah.
Well, cool, dude. Well, I really appreciate you hopping on the call, and I like this train we're on. You know, I saw you at BJ's wedding, and not too long ago, you know, not too far from that, saw you at the tailgate, and now I'm gonna have you on the podcast. Weezy's trying to rope everybody into getting here for the life duel.
Yeah, we
can get you here for that.
Man, he had a great time. Yeah, I expect to be on Matt's side. You know.
I like it. That comes with being a national champion level pin pool member. So,
You know what? If you can arrange it, then you can do whatever you want.
I like it. Yeah, we'll definitely get you Matt's side, dude. I'm excited.
Yeah, man, that'll be fun.
Cool. Well, thanks so much, and we'll definitely look forward to seeing you and keeping in touch, man. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Sounds good. See you guys.
Right. Great catching up, man.
Yep. All right. So that was Matt Wade, everybody. Coach, what did you think?
Wade, you know, he's always a fun time. Great guy. One of my favorite stories about Wade is it was at the Tiffin Regional, which I think was right after you had finished up.
Yep.
But Regionals was at Tiffin, and the Tiffin guy, Pembroke guy, and Wade had like this three-way where A had beaten B, B had beaten C, C had beaten A. And you could tell there was some collusion going on behind the scenes, because when the way regional rankings or seedings work is it's a vote, or at least it was at the time. And so it would be like, you know, so-and-so for number one, no hand. So-and-so for number one, every hand in the room, and it's like, all right, now. Okay, so now we see, because you voted for him, that's the one we beat.
Right.
So you can make the strong argument we're better than him, but because of the way things fell, that sort of guaranteed we're going to be third.
Right.
So what ended up working out is Wade's in the finals, Wade qualifies, the two guys that got voted ahead of him had to wrestle for who goes to nationals, and one of them lost, so it was like, yeah, that's what you get. don't scheme against
him. Right. And he got there and got it done.
That's right.
Podium. So, yeah, it was a great interview, and I remembered that he was into pro wrestling and wanted to go the WWE route, but I completely forgot until we talked about it. So it's a cool experience hearing about him, you know, just trying to climb that ladder and the opportunities he had, too.
Right, and I mean, and just... I love the fact that he used his the story about the interview with the you know what this means and all that stuff. Just that's Wade.
Yeah, no, he just go for it. He was like, well, I'm gonna go out swinging.
Yeah, so blaze of glory.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you joining the interview, Matt. It was an awesome interview, and I appreciate all the support, man. So moving on, I wanted to talk a little bit about other D2 wrestling news and regional wrestling news as well. You can look out for preseason rankings to come out, not only for Super Region 2, but also for NCAA Division 2 this week. I think it's projected to come out on Thursday, October 27th. So looking forward to having some of our guys show up in those.
Yeah, and not just the region rankings, but with, you know, some of the strong finishes our region had at the end of the year last year, I would hope that our region gets a little bit of respect and love that we haven't been getting the last few years. And if that's the case, then you have to imagine some of our guys who are ranked higher in the region might get a little love in those national rankings as well. So yeah, we can see the guys make appearances in those too.
For sure, particularly our national qualifiers coming back, right? I mean, Shoop was a round of 12-er. D. Rice coming back, having qualified as well. Devin having been an All-American. You know, you got to think some of those guys will be in there. PJ being a two-time qualifier. definitely looking, just interested to see where things might fall. But yeah, you look out for that this week. And then moving on, I wanted to talk a little bit about just general news for Newberry College and athletics. Congrats to Emma Westbrook. She is one of our student athletes of the week. And then also, what's his name that I butchered the last time? Uriel Zarakan. I think I'm saying that right. But he's from the men's soccer team. If I butchered your name, I apologize. But congrats to both of you guys. I think, Shoop, you mentioned that Emma
school record for, was it goals in a season, we said?
Yep. Most goals in a season. They still got a few games left, so she can keep building a
little. Oh, yeah, she could separate herself a little bit. But, yeah, that's awesome for those guys.
Yep. Moving on, I wanted to say just keep Mike Beggs, Professor Mike Beggs, in your prayers, and then also Dr. Terry Dome. They're two professors here. I had Dr. Beggs actually for a religion class. Had his wife, too. She was a music teacher.
Really?
Yeah. But just, I know Mike Beggs is in the hospital. Last time I heard, I think it was ICU. And then Terry Dome was in the hospital as well off of a heart attack, and just want to keep both of those guys lifted up.
Right. I'm pretty sure that we have been getting a little bit of communication from them. You actually got one directly from Dr. Dome, which we joked about a little bit, because he's like, apologize for just getting back to you. I had a heart attack. It's like, no apology necessary, obviously.
Right.
But I think Dr. Beggs has been in communication with some folks as well. But hopefully those are good signs, but keep them in your prayers either way.
Yeah, absolutely. And just last couple things, I wanted to give you a few dates to mark your calendars. October 29th, that's this coming Sunday at 2 p.m., we will have our annual Scarlet versus Gray inter-squad match out on the baseball field.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. Coach Triplett, he's got his guys bought in. I think they're as invested in making it a big, fun, showy event as we are. So look for that to be a great time. We'd love to see you out there. We're going to break out those new 52-foot home competition mats, and we're going to back it right into the bleachers behind home plate. So it'll be wraparound seating. Guys will be coming out to wrestle from dugouts. It'll be a good time, and hopefully a lot of great wrestling. We got some guys who are scrapping this year, as we've sort of detailed throughout this podcast and our previous one. So it'll be a good time, and I know we tied in everything last year with this because it was the same weekend as homecoming. But alumni, if you're around or if you can get here, come on down and we'll get together before, after, whatever, and have a good time with that as well. But the inter-squad match, always a good time. A lot of great wrestling, and come see our guys sort of the first time they compete, even if it's against each other. It'll be in a singlet, and it'll be the closest thing to legit before we kick the season off.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, that's this Sunday at 2 o'clock p.m. on October 29th. Other two dates to circle are November 5th. That's a Sunday as well. We're going to travel down to UNCP for the Pembroke Open. And then on November 8th, we'll host Montevallo here in our gym for our first home duel of the season.
Yep, and that is against former Newberry assistant Daniel Obey. So we will try to welcome him to Conference Carolinas appropriately.
Absolutely. So appreciate you guys listening. If you're wondering where you could find us, if you're watching on YouTube but you're busy and got to keep going, you can always stream us on Spotify. You can always also stream us from our official website on the Newberry College Athletics page. But we really appreciate all your support. I know Coach is big on the feedback and wanting to get feedback from you guys. So if you drop a comment on the YouTube page or even on our Instagram page on just general comments on what we can do to make the show more engaging, we'd really appreciate that.
Yeah, we like the interaction, so follow us on all of our social media as well. Leave some comments, and it doesn't just have to be about the podcast, but like I said, we like the interaction. We want to communicate with you guys, and we want to know what we can do better. So if you got comments about the podcast or something you want to say about the program in general, we'd love to read about it and interact with you guys and have a little bit more dialogue. But it's a lot of fun, and we hope to keep doing it.
Yep, and appreciate you joining the show, Shoot.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll catch you guys later.